Hello. Thank you for joining us today on this sixth day of the Feast of Tabernacles. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. As we celebrate the Kingdom of God during this feast, we also celebrate the government that is to come. Unlike the governments of man, where there are varieties and types of different forms of government, and within those different forms of government are often different political and ideological perspectives, in the Kingdom of God, there will be unity of government formed around God, a government that is of God, where there are no other gods before God, fulfilling the commandment of Exodus 20, verse 3, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." In the modern era, elected government officials and the most senior ranking members of the government tend to see a financial windfall through their service. In the United States, people can go to Washington, D.C. with very modest means and have the ability to leave being quite rich. While some may look to the slightly larger than normal salaries as a cause for this, when the cost of maintaining a residence in their home state and district and near the nation's capital are factored in, the salary alone cannot account for this growth in wealth. To the children of Israel, it was made clear that those in political power were not to financially gain from their service. God knew that eventually the people would want to appoint a king to handle political and civil affairs, and from the onset, God wanted the people to understand what was expected in the king. Today, these same principles would apply. First, God did not want a foreigner to be named king. Second, God made it clear that who serves the people is with the approval of God. Next, God made it clear that whoever is in the leadership position was not to use that status for personal financial gain, nor was this person to live an opulent lifestyle beyond the reach of the average person. The leader was to be well-versed in what is taught in the Bible, frequently referring to what is written throughout the leader's life. Never would this leader ever make any decision that would cause the people to return to slavery. Deuteronomy 17, verse 14. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt possess it, and shalt dwell therein, and shalt say, I will set a king over me, like all the nations that are about me, thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. But he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord hath said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. And it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them. that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment, to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. In the kingdom of God, all that leaders do will be to better the lives of the people they serve. And unlike today, where the people often face the unintended negative consequences of the actions by leaders, leaders of the kingdom of God will never bring negative, unintended consequences to the people. Everything that these leaders do will result in the intended result. And unless a person chooses to rebel against God, only the most incredible blessings will come to the people. The leaders of the kingdom of God will respond to the thoughts stated in Ecclesiastes by serving as the comforter to all who are oppressed, doing much more than the comforting done today by world leaders, where the comforting is frequently limited by words, but by resolving whatever led to the oppression. From the onset, the kingdom of God will be established to remove all that oppresses, so that the oppression that is removed will be at the onset of the kingdom of God. Once oppression is removed, oppression will no longer be tolerated. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 1. So I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun. And behold, the tears of such as were oppressed, and they had no comforter. And on the side of their oppressors there was power, but they had no comforter. Wherefore I praise the dead which are already dead more than the living which are yet alive. Yea, better is he than both they which hath not yet been, who hath not seen the evil work that is done under the sun. Hundreds of years later, Peter said that we are to obey God rather than men. Government never replaces God, and we can never allow evil that comes from government to supplant the truth of God. In the kingdom of God, we will rule under the authority of God and Jesus Christ. And the righteousness that is God and Jesus Christ will be part of the government. Going back to the time of Peter, what Peter and the apostles believed was thought to be treason, and they found themselves in prison. It was an angel of God who relieved them of their oppression and released them from prison. This caused quite a stir and even more confusion when they were found to be teaching in the temple, when they had been specifically told not to. Peter's explained they needed to obey God rather than men, explaining that God had raised Jesus to be not only a Savior, but a Prince. Acts 5, verse 17. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, Go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came, and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors, but when we had opened, we found no man within. Now, when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, Behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, Did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. In writing to the Corinthians, Paul wrote how God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the mighty. Today in our Christian faith, we are all playing the part of David to Goliath that is played by the mighty of this world. God does this so no person glories in their own action, because if the actions of a man brought about the kingdom of God, then people could look to that man and not God the Father. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, and yea, things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. In the kingdom of God, those who rule will not think highly of themselves, while the leaders of the kingdom will not be looked at as base or foolish. The humility that comes with being base and foolish will continue. And that is important, because those who are called today, those who the world looks at as base and foolish, will be priests of God and Jesus and rule for 1,000 years. Revelation 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. In the kingdom of God, the saints will judge the world. The role of the judge is not to render a guilty or not guilty verdict, but to ensure there is equity in the provision of the law. Paul explained to the Corinthians that we should be developing equity in judgment today to prepare for our role in the kingdom of God. He also added that we should not be so contentious with each other that we can't try to resolve our own civil matters immediately, seeking relief through the courts. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 1. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust, and not before the saints? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now, therefore, there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, you do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. Paul was writing about civil, not criminal matters. There is no expectation that we ignore a criminal act by a person who is of the faith. Criminal acts need to be reported to law enforcement, and in many instances and in many jurisdictions, failure to report a crime can be a crime itself. Never use the words of Paul to hide or cover a criminal matter. To Timothy, Paul explained that we will suffer today. And in the kingdom of God, we will rule with Jesus. How we live our life today will predict what will happen tomorrow. If we are treated as evil by the world today because it embraces evil and rejects good, we are to embrace the rejection, even though it might hurt, knowing that if we deny Jesus Christ, we will be denied in the kingdom of God. 2 Timothy 2, verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. In the kingdom of God, it will be easy for all to see that God is the source of the government. The government that exists then will be at the will of God. Although that is the reality today, this is not often understood because of the evil that Satan has tricked the world into following. Romans 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to do good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou not then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. While we celebrate the kingdom of God through this feast, Paul hints at what life will be like in the kingdom of God. He told Timothy that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men and for kings and all who are in authority, so that we might live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. This very life that we seek today will be the reality of the kingdom of God. While we celebrate today, we do not celebrate for a raucous kingdom of God, but a kingdom of God where all will have a quiet and peaceable life, where all focus on godliness and honesty. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. In a psalm written by Asaph, we are given a contrast between God and people who judge unjustly. These leaders give favor to the wicked while ignoring the needs of the poor and the needy. They give favor to the wicked and trap the poor and needy in the evil perpetuated by the wicked. In the kingdom of God, the wicked will not be allowed, and the poor and needy will be delivered from their circumstances. Psalm 82, verse 1. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. One of the greatest acts of judging unjustly was done by Pilate when he had Jesus crucified. They tormented Jesus before his death, and Pilate condemned Jesus even though he found no fault with him. John 19, verse 1. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him." Then Jesus came forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, "Whence art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, "Speakest thou not to me? Knowest thou not that I have the power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee?" Jesus answered, "Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." In the kingdom of God, there will be only righteous judgment. Never again will anyone need fear an unjust judge like Pilate. The kingdom of God will only tolerate righteous judgment, and there will be no favor given to a person because of status or wealth. Finally, in the kingdom of God, justice will be blind. The kingdom of God will also demand other forms of righteousness that we turned a blind eye to today. Gossip will not be tolerated, nor will character assassination. Hatred will never be the underlying emotion behind actions, and no person will hold a grudge against another. In the kingdom of God, neighbor will have love for neighbor. Leviticus 19, verse 15. "Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. But in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord." In the kingdom of God, righteousness will prevail throughout the government for the people. No more will wicked intent of people destroy the lives of others. All who are part of the kingdom of God will have a government whose foundation is pure and made of stone. Judgment and righteousness will begin and end at the throne of God, and the wicked will have no part or place in the kingdom of God. David hinted at this in Psalm 11, beginning with verse 1. "In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart." If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone, and an horrible tempest, and this shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness, his countenance doth behold the upright. The kingdom of God will not permit the evils of today. When wealth is accumulated, it will be accumulated by honest work, not through acts of unrighteousness that exploit others. When people work, they will be paid what they earned and not be subject to tactics to deny payment for services rendered. In the kingdom of God, people will not look to physical signs of wealth that today we might expect. Large, fancy homes will not be of value, and righteousness will be valued. People will not be preferred because of financial status. How people treat others will be valued. The kingdom of God will be a kingdom that values righteousness and character and not wealth. Jeremiah the prophet wrote of the troubles caused by people today who get all these important points wrong. Let's read Jeremiah 22, verse 13. Woe unto him that buildeth his house by unrighteousness and his chambers by wrong, that useth his neighbor's service without wages, and giveth him not for his work. That saith, I will build me a wide house and large chambers, and cutteth him out windows. And it is sealed with cedar, and painted with vermilion. Shalt thou reign, because thou closest thyself in cedar? Did not thy father eat and drink, and do judgment and justice, and then it was well with him? He judged the cause of the poor and needy, then it was well with him. Was not this to know me, saith the Lord? But thine eyes and thine heart are not but for thy covetousness, and for to shed innocent blood, and for oppression, and for violence, to do it. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, they shall not lament for him, saying, Ah, my brother, or Ah, sister. They shall not lament for him, saying, Ah, Lord, or Ah, his glory. He shall be buried with the burial of an ass, drawn and cast forth beyond the gates of Jerusalem. Go up to Lebanon and cry, and lift up thy voice in Bashan, and cry from the passages, for all thy lovers are destroyed. I spake unto thee in thy prosperity, but thou saidst, I will not hear. This hath been the manner from thy youth, that thou obeyest not my voice. The wind shall eat up all thy pastors, and thy lovers shall go into captivity. Surely then shalt thou be ashamed and confounded for all thy wickedness. O inhabitants of Lebanon, thou makest thy nest in the cedars. How gracious shalt thou be when pangs come upon thee, the pain as of a woman in travail. Unlike the realities of the day, the kingdom of God will be a kingdom where all will live peaceably with each other. Honesty will be the basis for all dealings in the kingdom of God, just as Paul advised the Romans in Romans 12, verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. The kingdom of God will be righteous in its dealings and will lead people who are law-abiding. People will have no need to speak evil of the government, and the government will have no wicked people of which to speak evil. Like Paul wrote to Titus, people will be gentle by nature, showing meekness to others, as the government led by God and Jesus Christ is embodied by righteousness. Titus 3, verse 1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. The kingdom of God will be a time of happiness. It won't be a raucous happiness, but a time of happiness, because the righteous will be in authority. Unlike this present world, people will never have to worry about the unrighteous being in authority, because the kingdom of God and its righteousness is forever. Proverbs 29, verse 2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. The government of the kingdom of God will be in the hand of God and will reflect the righteousness of God. Proverbs 21, verse 1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. The greatest leaders of the kingdom of God will be the greatest servants. No more will a leadership position be given to a person based on personal favor, and will be based on who is the servant. This concept is so foreign today that the term servant leader is used. In the kingdom of God, leaders will be servants. And while the concept of servant leadership will be understood and enforced, the term servant leadership will be redundant. Jesus taught of servant leadership when the mother of James and John sought a prominent place for her sons in the kingdom of God. Matthew 20, verse 20. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? She saith unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, we are able. And he saith unto them, ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with, but to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the ten heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. In writing to the Philippians, Paul explains that whatever is done will be done without selfish interest in mind. In the kingdom of God, when actions are taken, the needs and interests of all will be taken into account. Philippians 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Because much will be given to us in the kingdom of God, God will expect much of us. Until the time the kingdom of God is established, we must continue living our life, seeking first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. Luke 12, verse 42. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and to drink, and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did not commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto him whosoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to him whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. When the kingdom of God arrives, when Jesus Christ returns to earth, it is then that we will receive the crown of glory that will be ours forever. By seeking first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, we will be part of the government that is the kingdom of God, and that government will have no end to it. 1 Peter 5, verse 2. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. That crown of glory that we will receive will be a sign of righteousness that comes to us because of servant leadership today and seeking first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. And there will be no end to that crown of glory or to the government that is the kingdom of God. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together tomorrow during the Feast of Tabernacles. Until then, thank you for joining us today.